Welcome to the house of God. God is doing something in our midst. We have been away for 2 months, well, almost. And God is just stirring within our hearts some of the things that He wants to impart to us as a church and also as individuals. You know, we talked about how there is a dawn of change that is coming in our midst. I believe that will come. That is coming, if not already here, not only in our church, but also in our individual lives. We talked about how we need to continue to, you know, move on in freedom. And if we are, last week we talked about, if we are in the midst of the storm, there's this storm right ahead of us, take heart, because God is in the midst. He's right there in the center of the storm. He is there in the fire, and He is the one that will help us through. There are times whereby we don't anticipate it. We go about our own thing. In fact, we can even be, you know, obeying God, and we find ourselves in the storm. Other times whereby God says, you know, stand up. This is what I want you to do. And He takes us through the fire, and it is in the fire that we see Him. Amen? Amen? There's one other thing which I just sense the Lord wanting us, you know, to just grasp while we were away, you know, besides the change and all that. And this is part and parcel of change. Next week I will start a new series. We're gonna talk about, you know, where we're going and who we are. But some of the things that God just impressed upon our hearts while we were away. And this has to do with change as well. And it has to do a lot with the change of our perspective. Okay? You came in today. I don't know how y'all felt. We just, you know, arranged the chairs differently. And Penny asked me, so is this going to be the new setup for now? I said, yeah, for now. So we're going to... And some of you will feel, oh, okay, now my comfort zone suddenly, you know, disappeared already. Those of you who, you know, like sitting in your favorite places, now you have to find another new favorite place somewhere. Nonetheless, I wanted to do this last week. Okay, I wanted to do this last week, and but felt God say not yet. I don't know why. Maybe you can tell me why. Felt God say not yet. Do the panels first. Okay, so last week you just shift the panels. And I felt that, you know, what God was trying to impart, even through a physical rearrangement, is that there needs to be certain perspective when you come in, you see things differently, upon our lives. And even on our church, you know, there had been a partition that we had set up. Initially, what we wanted to do is, you know, put like a foyer area, people can hang out there and not disturb the people who are here if there's still worship going on and all that stuff. That's why the partition was put up. And also, you know, at night, if we are having, you know, late prayer and all that, people cannot see in and, you know, see what they can take. but felt the Lord say, open up. So last week, I opened up. And there is a need for each one of us to begin to see what God wants to do in our lives, as also in the church, in opening up this place to what He wants to do. Change is coming. The Lord led me to Isaiah chapter 6 as I began to wait upon the Lord, and I know this is yet another familiar passage. And the Lord said, speak about it again. Chapter 6, Isaiah chapter 6, this is the commission and the call of Isaiah, verse 1. It begins by saying, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him were seraphs, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings, they covered their faces. 2, they covered their feet. With 2, they were flying, and they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook and the temple was filled with smoke. We stop there for a moment. Chapter 6 in verse 1 begins by saying, in the year that King Uzziah died. There is a change before we see Isaiah experiencing all that. He tells us there is a change even in the physical. Something happened. That is the year that King Uzziah died. There is a change in perhaps the government, a change in the atmosphere. Something changed. There is a new phase in the journey for him and the nation at that point of time. And this passage reminded me of Joshua. You know, we talked a lot about Joshua. And Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, right at the beginning, same thing. Right at the beginning, it says, after the death of Moses. Joshua chapter 1, as he begins to take over, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua and gives Joshua a commission when something changed at that point of time. In Isaiah chapter 6, he experienced a couple of... Firstly, we see that he saw heaven. He visually saw the throne of heaven. Not only did he see, he heard the angels that were flying around. They were calling to one another in a loud voice, I believe. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. Not only did he see, not only did he hear, but he even felt the trembling. Verse 4 tells us that, you know, at the sound of their voices, the doorposts, the thresholds shook and the temple was filled with smoke. There is an experience. He encountered God and His glory in a powerful way. Not only seeing, hearing, but he felt it as well. A tangible presence of God. I believe that God wants us. A time is coming whereby we will experience God like never before. And God is calling people to experience Him like never before. Isaiah, the moment he experienced God, three things happened. Firstly, there is a consciousness of who He is, who God is. Who He is. He said, woe to me, verse 5. I'm ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips. He realized, you know, in greater depth, who He is. He realized also, you know, who He is amongst. He says, I live among a people of unclean lips. And He also declared who God is. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. And he sees the contrast between who he is, a sinful man, a man of unclean lips, living among people of unclean lips, in relation to the Holy God. And he says, I am finished. Woe is me. There is a consciousness of his state. Every time we encounter God, that happens. Every time we encounter God, we must come to the point of realizing who we are, where we are at, in relation to who God is, and ask ourselves, God, what do you want to do right now? What is He doing right now? each one of us, God wants to do something in our lives. There needs to be a change. God wants to change, you know, our perspective, the way we do things. And we need to come to realize who we are, where we are at, in relation to who God is. And that can only come when we deliberately come and seek an encounter with Him. You know, sometimes people, and I've met a lot of people, say, you know, I don't want to come to church. And we have people say this, you know, please don't pray for me. I don't know whether you encounter that or not, or you have said that. Please don't pray for me, because I know that if your prayer, God will answer it. Because they are scared to encounter God. And say, don't pray for me. Why? Because they choose to live in, you know, the sin and choose to ignore God. And they want to run away from God. I said, you know, better don't pray for me. Because God's going to get hold of me. I'm going to encounter God and something's going to happen. Scared. Now we must, at this point, and I believe this is what God wants us to do. You know, one thing about, I'm humble every time I hear people say this. Okay. I come to the point and say, God, this is all you. This has nothing to do with us. It's all you. When people come and say, hey, you know, the worship is really, I really encounter God, you know. God's in the house. It's all God. It's nothing to do, nothing the people here can do. We are just submitted to Him. And when God comes, we fall in awe of His presence. We come to a realization of who we are. And God wants to do something. And then we read on the passage. He says in verse 6, that one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Isaiah comes to the consciousness and the realization that he is a man, he says this, of unclean lips. That's where his problem is. And the angel comes with a live coal, touches where his need is the most. He comes and says, God, you know, I've got this problem. I'm finished. Woe is me. I'm finished because I have this problem. And the seraph comes, takes a coal from the altar, touches his lips, touches the problem area, and says, now, he says this, see, this has touched, your guilt is taken away, your sin atoned for. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ died for us so that we can say, God, thank you for forgiving. Thank you for cleansing my lips. Thank you for cleansing my heart, my mind. And if we come to the point when we see the glory of God and we say, God, this area of my life, problem. You know what He's going to do? He's going to show us the cross. And He's going to say, see, look at the cross. Look at the cross, because that's where it's settled. And so there is a cleansing that happens. Let's pause for a moment and ask ourselves this question. Is there any area right now in our lives as we encounter God that needs a touch from God? They need God to come and say, you know, see, settle at the cross. Perhaps there are some of us here right now, you know, we can say, yeah, you know, God is good, God is great, and woe to me. But my challenge to us is don't stop there. Because God says, look at the cross of Jesus. settled sea. And he comes, he cleanses us, he touches us. And then, verse 8 says this, then I heard a voice, the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Whom shall I send? And I said, here am I, send me. In verse 9, he said, go and tell these people. Go and tell. The interesting thing I find here about this passage is this, is the relation between what Isaiah said when he comes to a consciousness of who he is and how, you know, terrible he is. He says this, I have a problem. It's, you know, my lips. Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. And then the angel comes, touches his lips with coal. And then God says, whom shall I send? Go and use your lips. Go and tell. Whatever bad, negative state that we think we are in, I want to encourage us. God is saying, God can use that. Because Jesus comes, cleanses us, and whatever it is that is given to him, he can use. He can use. Isaiah came to God, encountered God and said, you know, I'm unclean. God touches it and says, go use it. Go tell his people. And then the passage goes on and God directs him as to what to say. Go and tell these people. Send me, Isaiah said. Today, I believe for each one of us, this is what the Lord is saying. And we need to change this. Change our perspective, mindset. Because for many of us, we have an old mindset, which I believe the Lord wants to change. And it is this. It is time. It is time that we go, open our mouth, and invite people to encounter God. Reality check, huh? No need to raise hand. Okay. How many of us, or when was the last time, we said, hey, come to church? Or, have you heard of Jesus? I grew up in a Christian family. Go to church since I was young. And there has always been a call to go invite your friends to come. But the reality is this. I have to confess, hardly do that. And church becomes very nice to hang out, huddle, great music, great worship, great fellowship, great time coming to study the Word of God and all that stuff. But we never go out and hardly say, come to church. Why? Don't know, for very reason. Maybe we are scared that people will have a perspective of church, of us, and maybe we are scared of rejection. I believe, as I begin to ask the Lord, Lord, you want change. Next year, year of change. Change what? Okay. What's there that needs to change? There are many things that God is beginning to show. But one of the things that God was very clear is our perspective and how we need to open our mouth, not be afraid to say, come to church, because your life is going to be changed. because you're going to encounter God, because something will happen here. For a very long time, I dare not say that, because I don't really know whether something will happen or not. After they come and then they walk away and say, don't want to come anymore. And if you've been thinking like that, the Lord rebuked me, corrected me, and said this, that's not my problem. It's up to Him to do His work. We need to saturate this place with prayer and call down the presence of God. And it's up to Him to come and meet the people. And He will. And we need to believe that. You know, Jesus told a story of a parable of the great banquet. I don't know whether you remember that story. Luke chapter 14. Can we turn to that? Luke chapter 14. Here's the parable of the great banquet, reading from verse 16. And Jesus said this: "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field, I must go and see it, please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out, please excuse me. Still another, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' Verse 22, 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" Now, when Jesus told this story, he was referring to his house, you know, being open up. He was, you know, referring to, you know, the Jews who rejected him. And what Jesus basically said is this, all right? He is, the people I invited, they're not coming, but the banquet is going on. Go invite everybody. All right? Go to the streets, invite the poor. And the servants come back and say, still got room. Go further, somehow. Go out to the countryside. Invite the people to come. Invite the people to come. For whatever reason, perhaps we've been in church for a long time, and we need to ask ourselves this: have we invited someone to come? If not, why? And the challenge is this: we need to start doing that. Kept some chairs as we arranged this. I believe there are 61 chairs plus those 63 chairs plus those two sitting there right now. And we are about 30 people, I think. So we are only half full. And we can definitely put more chairs. We have 99 chairs altogether, including the ones upstairs. And this place can definitely fill 99 chairs. Now, many times we say, you know, wait, the Lord will bring. He will bring His people. Yeah. Guilty. I believe this is what the Lord wants us to hear today. That we need to be bold to say, come to church. Because God wants to encounter you and He wants to change your life. And we're going to fill this place. And then I don't know what God wants us to do. Break down the wall maybe. This side, that side, I don't know. go somewhere else, get a bigger place. Doesn't matter. But it's His people. And we need to say, God, help me open my mouth. Invite someone to come. Invite someone to come. God is doing something here. There is a thick presence here every time we come together. Every single time we come together, and God wants to deal with His people. He wants to draw all men, the Bible says, unto Himself, right? And for some reason, God's strategy is this. He left us behind and says, who will go? Who will go and tell the people? He left us here for that particular reason. So that we can go. And we need to start inviting people to come. You flip a couple of pages, you know, in your Bible to Luke chapter 18. There's this story of the persistent widow, you know, who wants justice. Alright? And the Bible tells us of Jesus telling them this parable, you know, that there was a judge who didn't fear God, you know, he couldn't care less, he was a crooked judge, right? And this widow wanted justice. And she came knocking on the door, knocking on the door. This judge couldn't care less. He says, go away lah. But she was persistent. She knocked and knocked and knocked and knocked. And in verse 4, chapter 18, he says this, for some time, the judge refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. As I was praying today, the Lord reminded, or the Lord just directed me to this passage, and you know, He challenged me to challenge the people. He says, look at this from two perspectives. One, when this parable was told, you know, Jesus was saying, you know, how much more? If this happened to this judge who doesn't care, how much more will God grant you when we come to Him in prayer? And that's the context of this passage, right? It says we need to saturate this place. We need to, you know, just call down heaven. The other perspective is this. We need to be persistent in inviting people as well. To say, come to church. And your friend, your relative will say, I will come just because you invited me for 21 times already. I will come. If they keep track, if they don't keep track, just keep inviting them. And for us right now, I believe the Lord wants to break our mindset for the many times we say, yeah, I've invited Him, but He doesn't want to come. To break that and don't stop there. But say, God, I want to continue to invite my friend, my relative, my colleague, whoever you have been inviting. Maybe you have invited once, twice, and then they say, yeah, I don't want to come. And you have stopped. And God's challenge for us today is this, keep going. Keep going, they will come. Keep going. Maybe for some of us, you know, even before we invite, we decided for them that they will not come. Now that is a lie of the devil. Because, you know, the devil will say, forget about this guy, forget about, you know, whoever you're thinking of, you know, because look at his life, he will never come. And then we shrink. What do you think he will say when you open your mouth and invite him to come to church? About you. And then we shrink in fear because of the lies of the devil. And we never open our mouth. In our CGs, when we meet each other again for the next couple of weeks, ask each other, hey, you invited? Who do you invite to come? And reply. Okay, you must be able to respond. I invited this fellow, but they all never come. Please pray. Never mind. Invite again. Don't be discouraged. Because I believe that's what God wants to do in our midst also. He wants to change our perspective because He has placed us here not just so that we can huddle together. I mean, that's great. Having great fellowship and, you know, come together in the presence of God. That's fantastic. But to also take that out to the nations. Take that out to the streets. Go to the streets. Invite the people to come. That's what the passage says, right? Still have room? Go somewhere further. Go to the countryside. Invite the people to come. Can we come before the Lord right now and say, God, would you teach me how? Help me. Challenge me. Teach me how to invite so and so and so and so and so and so to come to church. And believe that as they come, something will happen to them. Because God's going to come and touch their lives. Let's all bow our heads right now. And I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to surrender names unto the Lord. It could even be the hawker that you always go and buy char kway teow or nasi lemak or whatever it is from. Say, God, help me invite this person to come to church. Perhaps some of us, you need to come before the Lord and say, God, forgive me because I've always ignored this particular person, this particular family member. God is saying now, whom will I send? You know, before He does that, He takes care of all our needs. The areas that we feel inadequate, God comes, He touches it and He says, you know, dealt with on the cross. I am going to empower you. I'm going to see that it works because I'm going to use you. This is what God is saying. Would you do that right now as you pray? And then make a commitment to the Lord and say, God, this week, help me invite this person. Give me the boldness, the strength, the courage, the opportunity to invite this person to come to church. Father, I ask for strength right now for each one of us. For boldness, that we would be strong and courageous, that we would not fear, that we would not fear men, but we would fear you. Lord, that we would not take things for granted, but we would have the courage and the boldness to say, God, use me. Use me for the extension of your kingdom. Every area that is weak, Lord, I ask that you would strengthen, that you would forgive, that you would restore, and Lord, that you would use it for your glory. Search our hearts right now, we pray. Search our hearts, Lord. Lord, we echo the response of Isaiah, and we say, God, here I am. Send me. Here we are, God. We are ready. We will not hold any grudge. We will release forgiveness. We will allow you, O God, to deal with us. And we take upon your grace, your strength, courage, boldness, the empowerment of your Holy Spirit upon our lives. That Holy Spirit that dwells in us. That same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit will lead us, teach us, guide us, mold us, shape us as we choose to walk in your ways. And we give you thanks, O God, for what you are doing. Because when you start something, God, you take it to completion. And we know, God, that what you do is good. Because your word says that you do not withhold any good thing. You release it freely. And so we receive it, O God, with thanksgiving. As we choose to walk in obedience, we give you thanks. Let your glory continue to fall upon this place and upon our lives. As we give you thanks in Jesus' name, amen.